to the Village Idiots podcast, please. Come to my clubhouse.
Why?
Spotify,
Mickey,
YouTube.
Are you having Apple, a stroke?
Apple Music.
Apple Podcasts, I think, yeah.
Mickey's different personalities are coming over. Welcome to the Downtown Lowdown, brought to you by the Downtown Tip City Partnership. I'm your host, Tasha Weaver, Executive Director of the Downtown Tip City Partnership. This episode of the Downtown Lowdown is powered by the Tip City Foundation, investing in what makes our community thrive. Each episode, I'll share what's happening downtown and introduce you to the people, stories, and energy behind it all. Welcome to today's episode of the Downtown Lowdown. How are you doing today, Greg?
I'm great because it's getting warmer outside and the snow is melting.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll get a flood?
I don't know. I'm not a weather person.
We should get a weather person on here.
We should.
Today's weather that we recorded 2 weeks ago.
Well, I mean, it's probably about as accurate as...
Yeah. Probably. I was just watching the news for LA and they were talking about the storms that are coming through and they're freaking out because it's raining.
Okay. Well, we have someone really special in today.
Super cool. Extra excited about today. I got here early.
Downtown.
I got here early just to prep.
Yeah, that's for today's show. Good.
Yeah. I'm so excited about today's show. The heart of the downtown.
Yeah, welcome.
What a privilege. Very much a privilege.
Living Simply Soap is probably one of my favorite shops downtown.
Thank you.
You've done so good.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Introduce her. Who is she?
Well, welcome, Mrs. Tanya Brown, the owner of Living Simply Soap.
So exciting.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to do this.
Yay!
But it doesn't fade out. When I take the finger off the button, it just stops, and that's not how real applause works. Yeah. Oh, she's slow clapping. It's a golf clap. I like that. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much
for
having me.
How was your commute for getting to the studio?
I should have counted my steps.
Right?
She probably came out 40. Of her studio, out of her office and walked 40 feet and then came into my studio. Yeah. So it's extremely, you're the best client I have based on distance. Yes.
Yeah. Didn't even have to wear my coat today.
No.
Yeah,
that's nice.
And you called ahead?
Yeah,
so I was out there. The door was waiting.
Rules.
Yes, you did good.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on today.
Yeah, this is exciting. I've never done anything like this before, so
it's
very exciting.
Just chatter.
Yeah.
People get on here and they get nervous. I'm like, why are you nervous? We're just chatting.
I'm not nervous.
And we're recording, but anything you say you don't like,
we'll delete it.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
We just want to hear all the stories behind the storefronts, and I know you have an amazing one.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Yeah, great. This was our 15th Christmas season. We kind of measure by Christmas. Mm-hmm. So very exciting and very grateful to have sustained
15 years.
15 years.
Wow.
And we're not giving up. We're shooting for the long term. So
that's exciting.
Yeah.
It's exciting. And you always have new products.
Yeah, we try to have something new, usually seasonal. Mm-hmm. We have all of the core, we call them core fragrances that people can count on, and all the bar soap, liquid soap, lotions, and creams and sprays. That's, kind of the standard. Mm-hmm. But then we like to bring new things in for people for seasons. But then we do bring back their favorites, like jelly bean. We're talking about getting ready for Easter. So have to bring back the favorites. People look forward to those. But just try to bring a little something new and stay sensitive to what is kind of current. Mm. Product-wise, adding different products as well as fragrances to our collection to stay, in line with what people are looking for.
And stay relevant, yeah.
And stay sensitive. Yeah. Some of our best product ideas have come from customers.
Mm, really?
And listening, and yes, and even fragrances, throughout all these years of doing this, 20 years of doing the soap business, not necessarily in a storefront, but just trying to stay sensitive to what people ask about, listening, and then trying to act on that. The new thing that we're looking at is adding a persimmon line. Mm-hmm. We've had several customers ask about persimmon.
Do you know why they're asking for that specifically?
Because it's supposed to help with old people smell. Now, I don't really think about old people as having, but that's
like
what they say now.
They smell or their sense of smell?
Their smell.
Their sense.
Like an old person. Now, I personally have not noticed an old person smell other than maybe Ben Gay or something that people, when you get old, your
muscles
ache. Yeah. But we've had several customers come in and ask about persimmon. So I've done some research on that, and that's something that we'll introduce here. You know,
interesting.
In the coming months.
I never would have thought of that.
I know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's just one. We're going to extend our tallow collection. Mm-hmm. That's been something that we've added here.
I like your candles. I think they're great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
I like the laundry detergent.
Oh, I've never tried that.
You. Oh,
is that a thing?
You need to try it. Yes.
Yeah.
And I like how you have all the little accessories. Even the stuff you don't make seems very like intentional. Like it's things that you've bought to go with your stuff to resell.
Right.
And there's not a lot of it.
Yeah.
So it's very like specific.
Right. I like the idea that the bulk of what we sell, we make. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a control thing over the years.
No, it's a smart, you're putting your name on it and your stamp on it.
You're controlling your quality.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that's what it is for you.
Yeah, I do like that. You know, over all the years, finding shortages on this or that, you know, it's very frustrating. And I would hate to be at the total mercy of just what other people do.
Right.
You know, so, but we do need to have some help, and I can't make back brushes. Mm-hmm. And that's something people, you know, like to use. So we do sell back brushes and nail brushes and, you know, different, our little soap saver sacks and soap lifts and different accessories. Although we do make our own wooden soap dishes.
Really?
Oh, I didn't know that.
We do make those. Really? Yeah. We have a little section.
And you sign each one on the back?
No,
or how's that work?
Clay does that, or Jake sometimes helps, or Bud, that, you know, the guys go in there and make those for us. So we do try to make as much as we possibly can from scratch that we physically can. I mean, there are some limitations because of the size of our business and, you know, the equipment that we have. So we've had to reach out for some help on a few things from time to time, and to be able to meet the demand. Mm-hmm. But as much as that we can make totally from scratch, we do.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. One time I was in there and you were telling me about buying these giant barrels of stuff that you have to like source and keep track of to make all the products.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember on Breaking Bad when they were making meth. They had to get these giant barrels of stuff and then keep it like temperature controlled so it wouldn't go bad.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you're doing, but whatever you're doing, it's working great. People love it. And you have all the stuff you need to make it. Not like Walter White.
We're legit.
You're legit.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're legal.
You're very legal.
Yeah. But back when we opened, you know, we made everything at Main Street.
Right.
And that was great in the beginning because it helped keep our overhead low.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everything in one building. So I had just one overhead. But then as time went on and we were growing, we were buying originally in gallon jugs.
Right.
Then we went to 5-gallon buckets. But everything was being manufactured on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
So it became really difficult to expand into barrels.
Right. Which, how do you get the barrels up there?
Yeah, you couldn't.
That's
so
crazy.
We couldn't.
There's no elevator in that building, right?
And there's no elevator. Okay. And actually, there's even, to get a barrel into the lower level where we have a garage door, to get, there's a step there.
Oh, wow.
And so, I mean,
what's a barrel weigh?
A lot.
Like 200 pounds?
Yeah,
Lord. That's
so
crazy.
We had to, it was a lot of, thank goodness Clay is like, you know, the muscle man. We call him the muscle, you know, we needed him for sure. But we would have to pump off from barrels and then carry it up in buckets to the upper level. I mean, it was very labor intensive. But, you know, as your business grows, you have to constantly be looking at how can you manage the cost of materials. Mm-hmm. And trust me, I just was a little simple soap maker. And some of these things, obstacles, or some of these things we had to overcome, and the things that we've learned as we've grown our business, it's really been interesting. But a lot of it is just simple common sense. And so that's when we went on the search for another building. And that was back in 2018. And our resources were small, minimal, you know, didn't have a lot to work with. But we just kept watching this little building over here across the street.
Across the street.
Yeah, on North 4th Street. And price just kept coming down. Mm-hmm. And eventually, I twisted my husband's arm and said, come on, you got to come. We got to go take a look
right
at this.
Right in and out of that building. Yeah. You don't have to carry it up and down stairs. Isn't that great?
It was amazing.
And then he finally was like, okay, we're doing this.
Yeah. And so we made an offer on the building and were fortunate to negotiate. Now, it needed a lot of work. That was in 2018, the fall, late fall. And then 2019 was when the fire happened. Mm. But it was a blessing that we had 4th Street because we were able to go right in over there the day after and sit around a little table. We had no heat in the back room. And we had a little heater and this table and made plans for how to rebuild. So
you manufactured over there. Yeah. And then I think you sold out of the old Coldwater. Is that where you had a little retail space in there for a while?
The Watsons were so wonderful to us. And they reached out and agreed to let us open up a temporary shop in Coldwater for that summer. Right. Well, we opened, I think it was, I can't recall exactly, but it was about 2 months. It took us to rebuild our inventory, get everything going over here. First, we had to build bathrooms. We had to add water because there was no water to the back of the building where we were going to manufacture. So my guys were tearing up concrete and running water lines. It was unreal what they did. And to be able to manufacture there and then set up. The girls repainted all of the furniture all of the display pieces that we had. The guys moved them all over. I mean, it was just unreal.
So you almost had to start from scratch.
Yeah, we had to throw away all of our inventory.
Wow.
I just was so paranoid that there could have been leaching somehow into that, and I just could not bear the thought of selling anything that could have any potential residue. I just had to throw it all away.
I didn't realize you lost your entire inventory for that. That's crazy.
We sure did. Everything was gone. So, but that building was then rehabbed. Jake and his partner, Frank, rehabbed that building. And it's absolutely beautiful.
It looks brand new.
It's healthy. Mm-hmm. And I always like to say that it's going to be handed down to generations in such good condition now that it would have really been, a struggle to stay open and do all that and all that rehabbing. But, electric and furnaces and, it's a good solid historical building now for Tip City for beyond me,
Yeah, and shout out to the Watsons for having an extra space for to be able to use for at least I feel like you were there 6 or 8 months.
Yeah, we were there all summer, and we reopened Winter's Gathering.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
2019. When, so almost a whole year you were closed out of that space.
Yeah, all summer long. Mm. Yep. It was some experience, but we've been through all kinds of, you talked about a flood earlier before we went through the flood.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what year that was, but we were pumping out water out of our basement.
Yeah, that was out. That's the year the culvert over out here washed out and the water was flying straight up in the air.
Yeah.
Out here, the road got washed out, and then people were freaking out. Water was flying up out of all of the manhole covers.
The whole downtown was flooded.
It was crazy.
Crazy.
Do you guys have any idea what year that was?
Before that, right?
Well, we opened, it was maybe 14 or 15.
Yeah.
It was it before they redid the streets, right?
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. So it must have been earlier. Because then when they closed the whole downtown for a whole summer, remember that, walking across from business to business on
Mud-covered
plywood
wooden slats.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That was summer of 13. I think it was after that.
Maybe.
I think it was 14 or 15.
Yeah.
With the flood. But, yeah, exciting things happen in Tip City, Ohio.
I guess so. Tanya, can we go back just a little bit farther? Because you have such an incredible story about how you even got started in downtown Tip City. And I know that I have heard this story.
I have not heard this story. Yes, so
you're a part of this story. What are you talking about?
But I'm sure that we do have listeners that haven't heard. And I mean, you're such an inspiration. So I would really love it if you would share that for all of our listeners.
Well, people sometimes ask me, how did you even get into making soap? And I think it just goes back to the fact that for some reason, there is something inside me that just loves doing things from scratch, mm-hmm. old-fashioned, just, you know.
You I like think stirring I, things, don't you?
Yeah, maybe.
And pouring. You stirring, like pouring I just, things.
I love the just the making. Mm-hmm. I'm just a maker. I just say mm-hmm. that's my personality. I'm just a maker. Mm-hmm. And I've crocheted. I've knitted. I've made my own paper. I mean, anything that you could. I just love learning and challenging myself to do something. And soap was something I just always loved. I would go to the craft shows, you know, back in the 90s when you'd have craft shows everywhere. And soap was always fascinating mm-hmm. to me. I just thought it was just cool. And
how do they make that?
How do you do that?
Like, and how do you do that? Yeah. And why does it have stripes?
And it's
and why is the top of it rough and the rest of it is like smooth on the sides?
So I came upon a book at Michael's one mm-hmm. day, half price, How to Make Soap. Bought that book, sat around, got dusty, because back in those days, you couldn't find like coconut oil. Mm-hmm. You couldn't just go to the grocery store and find coconut oil or palm oil or even persimmon essential oil. So, and there weren't any resources mm-hmm. like there is now on the internet. You just didn't mm-hmm. have any of that to really. So, but my brother was, this is kind of a long story. I hope this is okay. But
that's my brother was. That's our favorite kind of story.
Okay. My brother had surgery and he had a blood clot developed, needed some help. So I brought him up to live with me for a while, and it was a cold winter day. And I said, you know what? We're going to make soap. I had gone to the health food store and found coconut oil. Mm. That was, and I found out that Crisco had palm oil in it, because that was part of the recipe that was in this book mm-hmm. that I had. And I went to Ace Hardware and they had lye, not Drano, couldn't be anything, mm-hmm. It had to be lye. So I had, and olive oil was the other ingredient. So I'd gone to the grocery store. So I had what I needed. I just never had the courage to pull the trigger. Well, that day I did. I sat there and I stirred that soap and poured it into a little drawer. Literally, I had lined a drawer with wax paper. And poured that soap into that drawer. The next morning I woke up and it was soap. I was just,
oh, wow.
I was like, oh my gosh, this worked.
Look
this
what
worked.
I did.
Yes,
look I what did I a made. Thing. Look, I did a thing.
I think I remember putting a little oatmeal in it and, just, uh-huh. yeah. But I was just so excited that it worked, and it was.
I hope you took a picture of the first.
No, but I still have the drawer.
Okay,
good. I still have the awesome. Drawer.
You know how when you make a dollar, the first dollar, your business, you frame it? You should have a picture of that soap.
I had even gone as far as to take the front of the drawer off and make little latches, because it talked about how you had to be able to access your soap and get it out. And I was like, I was over the moon with it. So, but something just clicked and it was like, wow, I did it. I can do this. Mm-hmm. I can make it colors. I can make it smell good. Mm-hmm. I can add this to it or that to it and make it shapes. I don't know. And then packaging, and my brain just exploded. It was on fire. So
hopefully you can make it for less than it costs to sell it.
I can.
Good.
A little bit.
That's just, how you just, do it. That's
just
how, a
little
then you're
bit.
Like, wait, okay, hang on. People will buy this.
Yeah. Well, and so then I just started experimenting with, different recipes and trying to just learn, and I would sell it, give it mm-hmm. to my neighbors. What do you think about this? You're like, oh yeah, I love that. And so I just kind of went out, and again, the internet was fairly, new, mm-hmm. not a lot of resources, but I was able to find some places to buy some different fragrances. And so one day I got the courage to reach out to a very new thing going around in little cities, which was farmers markets. Mm-hmm. And Tip City, a place that I love dearly, was having a farmer's market. Mm. So I thought,
that's a good idea.
Yes.
It's a great idea.
It's a great idea I had.
So I reached out, and I can't remember. Was there an application online?
Yes, there was. Yes.
And I filled out this application. And
2008?
I want to say seven.
In there somewhere? Mm-hmm.
It was seven. And
it started in 2007.
Yes, the very first, and I think you might have already had your first one by the time that I reached out to you, and you were very kind, Greg Enslin.
Oh, thank you.
To allow me to set up my little
experiment on our people.
Booth. Yeah, to experiment. I just had
a
little table.
Hopefully it went well.
And so, prior to that, I had kind of figured out how to kind of wrap it a little bit, like wrap it this way, wrap it that way.
Like how do you
cut it with a knife? Back then, I cut it with a knife. Yeah, my husband made these molds so that the mold converted, not only, you know, had all four sides, but I could lift up one end and kind of slide the log and use that as my cutting guide.
Like
and,
fudge, kind of. Nice. Like that's how they make fudge. And they slide it out. And
very
then
similar.
Cut it.
Yeah. So that's how I was doing it. And, you know, when I look back now and I think about how I packaged it or how I, you know, it was like so funny now to think, you know, how we do it. But
well, you were making 10 at a time. Now you're making 200 at a time or whatever.
Yeah. We make 80 bars in a batch
now.
In one of our molds. Then the other one make 150 bars.
Really?
Mm-hmm. At a time in another mold.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. But, and we make about 7 batches a week, you know, so do the math on that. We're, you know, selling.
It's like you're a manufacturing facility.
You
should get a commercial like credit for the city for that.
Yeah. Oh, for good idea. Money, I'll ask
making,
about that.
You're making products here. You're manufacturing them.
Yeah. Yeah. So the farmer's market, I had so much fun though. Mm. And I was so excited about, you know, selling and sharing. And then
did you do well? Did you sell?
I did fine. Yeah. I did just enough. I mean, you know, I didn't have a lot of overhead, was doing everything in my little kitchen. So next summer I came back and business started to grow. I brought candles but I'll tell you, I've learned so much. It's been such a learning experience with trial and error.
Lots of error.
Yeah.
I'm never doing that again.
Yeah. Okay. I need to. Yeah. That. So just the product line started to grow as people were asking for different things and just came back summer after summer. I had my little brown truck, and sometimes you guys would be so kind as to help me unload all that and load back up again. And I started going to festivals. Mm. I mean, the Tip City Mum Festival was the first festival I ever did. I was a nervous wreck. I was like, I can't believe that I am actually standing here behind this table selling soap at the Mum Festival.
Right.
It was crazy.
But obviously, it went well.
It did.
Apparently, it went great.
It went well enough that I was encouraged.
Right.
Yeah. So it's just gone. And then one day after the farmer's market, I heard about this building that was for sale. I was actually a realtor at the time.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I was a realtor. I had been a realtor for 14 years. Mm-hmm. But that maker in me just was really starving to get out.
And you need a space.
I just
for
was
your
enjoying.
Barrels. Got to put them somewhere.
Yeah, and we had a building in Butler Township that we were being forced to sell through eminent domain for a road widening project. And we could not find another building to replace it with. My husband had his construction business, just was not, we couldn't find any place. But this building on Main Street was coming up for sale.
Beautiful building.
Yes, thank you. Yep. It needed a lot of work. But it had been the Wampler Plumbing Building. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They had been there for 50 years. And Reed Spencer, who was also active in the partnership and the farmer's market.
Yep.
And Reed and I had done business together as realtors. I reached out to Reed and I said, I think I need to take a look at this building. Thinking maybe it could accommodate my business and my husband's business as well.
Right, it makes sense to use it as a twofer.
Yeah, it did. So Reed took us through the building, and I was really petrified at the thought that I would really be committed to a full-time retail business. But my son Jake was like, Mom, when did you think that you would ever have a chance, these are his exact words, to own a historical building in downtown Tip City, a place that you love so much. When did you think you'd ever have that chance? And he says, we have to do this.
I love that.
Yeah. So, you know, we made an offer and Reed, you know, worked out the details for us, and we were able to close on the sale of the business that the building that we were being forced out of the very same day.
Wow.
That we bought the Wampler building. And
so it was almost like it was meant to be.
It really, really feels that way to me. I say that I feel like God has just had his finger just kind of stirring in, even though we've had terrible things happen, like the fire, you know, and I thought that it was just, it was horrible. Just one of the worst days of my life. But, you know, goodness came out of it. Mm-hmm. There's been so many things that have happened. I could just go for days telling you people that have come into my life because of the business, you know, like my Molly or my Hannah or, you know, Leslie, just all the staff that have grown and all the goodness that it's brought, even to downtown, mm-hmm. which is amazing to about. It's hard to, you know, I don't want to take credit for that, but it's just like, you know, we've been able to be a positive thing. Yeah. And I'm very, very grateful for that. I feel like I'm just kind of rambling here, but...
You're good. But one of the things people always ask me about your stuff is the packaging. So how does that happen?
I just started experimenting with packaging. I've always been a little bit fascinated with graphics and graphic design, but I am no artist. Mm-hmm. So over the years, I've learned to sort of take advantage of other people's artistic or graphic design ability and incorporate it. So I've found different graphic designers that I've been able to purchase their design work and incorporate it into my packaging. I realized that, you know, I wanted it to look like a present. Mm-hmm. And I felt like you can make a wonderful product, but if people aren't attracted to it, that, you know, you got to get them to try it. And maybe the packaging would be a way to just kind of draw them in and have them buy it.
Yeah, when I buy it and give it to somebody else, it feels like it's a present that's already been wrapped.
Yeah,
right. So whatever you're shooting for, it's working.
That's good. And we've realized over the years that by making it giftable, that it kind of, it's given us, I don't know how to describe it, but it's just given us a different opportunity to sell and share the product because it is giftable. Now, maybe someone wouldn't buy it for themselves or whatever, but they love giving it as a gift. Mm-hmm. And that's just really helped us because of holidays and, you know, different, you know, events or different purposes. It's, you know, like our thank you soap and our happy birthday soap.
It's so cute. It's so cute. And I hear about that a lot. Like, how do they make it so consistent across all of the different lines? It looks like someone designed it all to fit together. Yeah. So obviously you did, but it's very successful.
But I wanted it to kind of, each line to kind of look like its own unique line. Like the essential oil collection looks different than the core collection.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the silk collection looks different than the bloom collection, you know. So, but I do love it. It keeps me going. Mm-hmm. It feeds my, you know, creative juices, I guess, to, you know, come up with different design for different things. I love fonts. Mm-hmm. I love fonts. I'm addicted to fonts. And so I love to go on Etsy and buy fonts from, you know, the creators, the little gals on Etsy that are making fonts. So that's really rewarding.
Isn't it crazy that they have a business model where they make letters?
I know.
And then digitally, it's not an actual letter. Yeah. It's just a digital design of a new kind of look for your letter R. And then they sell it and make money. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I feel like I'm supporting their little business too, so that's always fun. I don't know, I do love packaging. It's a challenge. Sometimes it's a little, how am I going to make this look this time?
You must run through so much color ink on your printer. Yeah. I can't even imagine.
Mm. Yeah, we had to buy all new printers last year.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you're probably running them into the ground.
Yeah, we did.
If you're making 150 bars of soap seven times a week, and then you're printing all those labels?
Well, we do have a printer up in Piqua. Who prints our bands and wrappers for our soap. Now, all the lotions and creams and all that, we print ourselves. Mm. But the actual bands and wrappers, he prints for us. That was something that I'd...
Volume. Once you get to a point where you can't do it yourself.
I just couldn't do it. Yeah. And he can cut it all real precisely because it just took so long to cut each one.
Right, and that's your job, is to be efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do that in-house, and we'll do this, or we can do it this much for the same price if we outsource it.
Yeah, we just had to. I figured that early on. But like, we do special custom packaging for baby showers, bridal showers, weddings, and that we usually print in-house unless it's, you know, a couple hundred or something like that. We do packaging. We do product for Airstream. Mm. They have a collection there. I just was contacted by a couple that has rental properties on St. John Island down in the Virgin Islands. Mm-hmm. And so we're making soap that's custom packaged for them, for their guests at their rental properties down there.
That
so
cool.
Yeah, that's kind of a fun little thing. Mm. And
that's great.
Thank you for tuning in to the Downtown Lowdown. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss a story behind the storefronts. I'll be back every Wednesday with more conversations about the people, places, and moments that make downtown Tip City special. If something we talked about today sparked your curiosity or you want to dig a little deeper, I encourage you to reach out to the Tippecanoe Gazette editor and share your thoughts or questions. Community conversations matter. And if you love these stories and you want to be part of them, consider becoming a friend of downtown. Your support helps us preserve, promote, and enhance the downtown we all love. Thanks for joining us on the Downtown Lowdown. I'm Tasha Weaver, and until next time, we'll see you downtown.
Welcome to The Ultimate Unwind. This is Grego, my Lego. No rush here. Just building, relaxing, and talking Lego. Subscribe now to Grego, my Lego on YouTube, where every build tells a story.